evening and had a little one who was not feeling well, so luckily his mother was able to take care of him this morning. This morning I would like to talk about love. And the Bible gives us five different types of love, but this morning we're going to largely address only two of them. Now, Brother Jackson did a wonderful job of our scripture reading this morning. But I would like very much for you to either look at the bulletin or look up here, and we're going to read it together from Matthew chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 37, all of you together. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." I really need you to keep that in the back of your head as we go through the rest of this morning's lesson. By the way, if you haven't memorized those verses, those are a wonderful set of verses to memorize. We are going to spend the rest of this morning in 1 Corinthians. So if you want to flip in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, we're going to do a lot of skimming this morning. The church at Corinth was founded by Paul. We learned that in Acts chapter 18, the first 18 verses. And he spent a long time there. He spent a year and a half. And he only spent that long because the Holy Spirit told him to. He was ready to leave. And the Holy Spirit said to Paul, "Why don't you stick around a while?" And Paul's answer was, okay. Year and a half he invested in the church in Corinth. And after he finally leaves Corinth, he moves on to the church at Ephesus. Now, while he's in Ephesus, he apparently writes at least three letters to the church at Corinth. Now, the book that we have in our Bible that we call 1 Corinthians is actually his second letter. But it's the first one we have that's recorded, that we have. And so that's why we call it 1 Corinthians, because it's the first letter we have, not because it's the first letter he wrote. Now, while he's in Ephesus, a bunch of Chloe's people come to him and say, "You know what? The church at Corinth is struggling. But Paul's got things to do in Ephesus. He's founding another church. He doesn't have time to pick up and leave, so he writes them a letter." Another one. Now, some of the things that Chloe's people have talked about are these factions that are forming in the church at Corinth. Now, Paul says, some of you people are saying, "I'm from Paul, and I'm from Apollos, and I'm from Peter, or I'm from Christ." And he says, "You know what? I made those names up." Because those weren't the names they were actually following, but he says, "Work with me here." Did Paul die for you? No, he didn't. Did Apollos rise from the dead for you? No, he didn't. All you people need to be following Christ. There were also some issues with some uncorrected sexual conduct. There was a man who had married his father's wife. And Paul says, essentially, "Have you people lost your mind? Even the pagans are looking at what you're doing and going, huh?" And then there's the matter of meat sacrificed to idols. Do I eat it? Do I not eat it? And Paul says, "You know what? All things are lawful, but not all things are good for you, beneficial." And here's the thought for you. Go back to Matthew 22. You know, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. If you eating meat sacrificed to idols is causing your brother to stumble, don't do it. Whether you eat the meat or don't eat the meat isn't the issue. The issue is whether or not you are causing your brothers and sisters in Christ to stumble. Be careful. You need to love your brothers and sisters. Honor them above yourselves. Do you have the right to eat the meat? Sure you do. But if you eating the meat is going to cause problems, don't do it. Next one he gets into is conduct in the church. Oh my goodness, there's some things going on. Not only are there factions concerning who is following whom, but the church at Corinth, because Paul was there, got the blessings of the Holy Spirit. And they were given those gifts. They had speaking in tongues. They had the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of knowledge, and interestingly enough, the gift of faith. And what they had done is prioritized them. Oh, well, the people who had the gifts and tongues, they're the most important people. And the people who had the gift of prophecy, those are the next most important group. And then what they would do when they would get together in church is the folks that had the gift of tongues, they would start talking. Whether or not anybody understood them or not. Well, the folks who had to get the prophecy, they had something to say too. So apparently they would start talking while the people who were speaking in tongues were talking. Because they had something to say. Well, then the people who were speaking in tongues would talk louder. And then the people with faith would just sort of roll their eyes and go, "Holy smoke, this isn't very useful." Which means that essentially what you had in the worship service was chaos. And this actually, I was listening to Brother Pierce this morning during class, and his book really has nothing to do with the book of 1 Corinthians, but our lesson this morning dovetails so well in terms of how are we treating our brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of them were showing up for the Lord's Supper, and some of them were showing up early, and they had plenty to eat and plenty to drink, and they had so much to drink that by the time everybody had shown up, they were already drunk. And Paul's like, "Have you lost your mind? This is not what this is about. You got poor folks with nothing to eat, nothing to drink, and you're drunk. Which, by the way, is a sin." Go back and look through the book of Matthew. It's an interesting book. Being drunk, Jesus calls a sin. You're going to go to church to go get drunk? Did you miss the point? Clearly you did, because you missed that bit in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. It said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Paul is working really, really hard to point out what they're doing wrong. And then all of a sudden, he gets to the end of chapter 12, in the very last verse, and he's like, "Okay, let me take a deep breath." Verse 31 of chapter 12 says, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way." It's all right to want gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you need to make sure that you understand the point. And now we're going to get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're not already there, flip there, because we're going to spend some time in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul begins and he says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels." Now remember, this is the gift that they're considering the most valuable gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, "If I speak in the gift in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Now I don't know how many of you have ever had a percussionist in your home. But you know what? That resounding gong and the clanging cymbal get old. I mean, I know they need to practice too, but love. It's great that you got the gift. But if you aren't using it in love, who cares? "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing." Interestingly enough, do you know that not all gossip is lies? Do you know that there's a great deal of truth that doesn't need to be spread too? Just because you have knowledge and just because it's true doesn't mean you need to share it. What you have to say, say in love. Because if you can't say it in love, you should probably be quiet. Now keep in mind, he's talking to a congregation that he knows intimately. He has worked with these people for a year and a half. He knows exactly to whom he's speaking. And they know him too. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Y'all remember last week we talked about Barnabas and he made that wonderful gift where he sold the property and he laid the money for that property at the apostles' feet. And he said, you know, distribute among the brethren as you see fit. And he did that out of love, not because there was a call for the money. But in the very next chapter, Acts chapter 5, we have Ananias and Sapphira, who come to the same apostles. And they've sold some property. And they decided they're going to lay some of it at the apostles' feet, which was cool. The problem was that they told the apostles, this is all of it. Aren't we cool? And Peter looked at him. Ananias first and then Sapphira, I believe. The husband was first, the wife was second. Is this what you did? Oh, yes, sir! And for his lying, egotistical nature, he died on the spot. A little while later, his wife came in and told the same story with a straight face. And he said, sweetie, the man who just carried out your husband's corpse, they're coming for you too. And she dropped dead. If I'm doing this stuff with no love, who cares? Your motivation really does matter. And then we get to this interesting verse. Love is patient. You know what? Oh, love is patient. And there are times when people test mine. And I'm working on it. I am. Love is kind. This morning, Brother Pierce talked about, you know what? Sometimes you can fake it here with the people who only see you every once in a while, but you don't get to fake it at home with the people who live with you 24/7. What does that look like? How are you treating your brothers and sisters? How are you treating your wife? How are you treating your kids? Is it kind? Is it patient? It does not envy. Ooh, that one sort of goes to the heart of what's happening here in Corinth. Oh, he has a gift of tongues. I'm not as good as him. I want that gift. I don't like the gift I have. Love does not boast. Okay, I got the gift of speaking in tongues. But you know what? I'm only going to speak in tongues if there's an interpreter or if there's somebody there who speaks the language I'm speaking. It is not proud. Where did you get that gift from? Is it because you were cool or you were intelligent? No, you got it from the Holy Spirit. What do you have to boast about? Nothing. And then Paul, he's struggling with these people at Corinth. And there's a lot of knots. There are 14 negatives here. Love does not dishonor others. Well, isn't that what you people are doing, showing up eating and letting other folks starve? You people are showing up and getting drunk and letting other people show up to a worship service that's in chaos? Isn't that dishonoring other folks? It is not self-seeking. What are you doing if you're standing up in the congregation trying to get everybody's attention to listen to you speak in tongues? It is not easily angered. How about all you folks sitting there in the audience listening to the folks speaking in tongues that you can't understand? How annoyed at them are you? It keeps no record of wrongs. Whew, that one's hard. But do you remember back in Matthew where the Lord said, beware of the measure that you use to judge other people, for the measure that you use will be used against you. It keeps no record of wrong. The Lord said, you know what? When you got baptized and all your sins were wiped clean, it was a completely clean slate. It's not like I kept a side book with those notes. It's gone. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love does not delight in evil. And there are so many applications to that particular verse. There is a fellow, a Christian comedian, whose name, forgive me, I'm blanking on, who sings a song about people that he'd like to see falling down the stairs, or it's a very, very funny song. But love does not delight in evil. And you know that we need to work on that. What is it that we find funny? It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, always protects. If you're jealous of somebody else, are you protecting them? Probably not. An interesting thing that I have beheld. If you would like to see this one in action, mess with a child when the child's mother is somewhere nearby. There is a man in Georgia, some of y'all may have read about this in the paper. There is a man in Georgia who's about to spend several years in jail because he picked up another person's child in the supermarket and spanked that child. That was a bad idea. Love trusts. My son is a wonderful little fellow. And I have never, to the best of my knowledge, ever given him a reason not to trust me. But when he was a little smaller, he trusted me a little more than I wanted him to. Because he would climb up the stairs, 3, 4, 5 steps up and go, "Catch me, Daddy!" And he would jump, whether I was ready to catch him or not. And the Lord blessed us both because I never missed him. But that's what trust looks like. Always hopes, always perseveres. It keeps going, even when you're frustrated with folks. You know what? I love you. We're going to keep working through this. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Go back to the beginning of that verse. Love never fails. All these other gifts that you're so proud of, they're going to go away. You know what? You're going to die. It's going to be gone. But the love that you offer to other people, it's still there. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. Now, if you would like to dive down a deep rabbit hole, go look up what when completeness comes means in some concordances, some commentaries. There is a lot of scholarly disagreement over what that completion might possibly be. Is it when the Lord comes again? Is it when the church formed? Is it when the Lord is joined again to his, or joined to his bride, the church? There's a lot of speculation there. I sort of leaned toward that last one in terms of the Lord being joined together with his bride, the church, but I wouldn't fight over any of them. Now, this is kind of an interesting aside that Paul is making in an aside. He says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Those of you who have had the honor of having children understand that their thought processes can be absolutely fascinating. Why did you flush the goldfish? I was setting him free, Daddy. You did what? Yes, you know, because all pipes lead to the sea. Oh, son. And you know, in his little simple mind, it worked. And the goldfish had been set free. But when you get a little older and you learn about that cleaning plant that's down there by Lake Washington and you realize that that goldfish didn't go anywhere. But Paul's not talking about goldfish. He's talking about the people of Corinth. And I think, in my opinion, this is a fascinating way for him to say, look at me. But he doesn't want them to look at him. He wants them to examine themselves. When I was a child, I talked like a child. You know what? When you guys were children in Christ, you talked like children in Christ. I thought like a child. Okay, when you guys were children in Christ, that was okay that you thought overly simplistically. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. You know what we're supposed to be doing in Christ? We're supposed to be growing and maturing. And Paul said, y'all need to work on that. But I thought it was a very kind way of doing it. For now we see only reflection as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And that's one of the verses that leads me to conclude that the full completion of these things is the marriage of Christ to the church, his bride. But now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You need to start with a love for the Lord your God. After you figured that out, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. What does that look like? Paul's trying. He's working on it. By the way, if you go on into chapter 14, he gets back to what he was talking about in terms of the spiritual gifts and how you're using them. Chapter 13, in my opinion, is a digression from the nitpicking that Paul's been doing at these people. And he said, let's look at the big picture. It doesn't matter what you're doing, whether we're talking about the communion, whether we're talking about spiritual gifts, whether we're talking about gathering together and being orderly in the service. Here's your bottom line. Whatever it is that you are doing, you need to do with love toward one another, so that you can honor the Lord your God, and so that you can honor the people beside you who showed up because they too love God. As we go through our week, I really, really hope that you will keep Matthew chapter 22 in your mind and measure your life by it. There are several passages that we've gone through, that whole lesson on love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says on these two commands is everything hung. So if you can master those two verses, you're good. The whole rest of the Bible works on explaining those two verses. Would you bow with me, please? Father, we thank you so much for the people who have gathered here today to encourage one another. We thank you, Father, for your love for us so that we could learn to love. We thank you for those who came before us to set up this building, this institution that is your church. We'd ask, Father, that you would be with us as we continue to spread your word and work for this institution that you created, Father. Be with us as we go through our week and keep our feet on your path because we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If for any reason you need to come forward this morning, I can pray for you, I can talk to you, I can set up appointments with you for the rest of the week, whatever it is that you would like. You may do as together we stand and as we sit.